You want another juice or anything?
No, I'm fine now, mate. I'll take you up on that offer in a wee while.
What if I didn't offer?
I'll remind you, don't worry.
48th minute, Morales.
Morales. Who's it, you or Ali McCoy? Blether shite. That's all I had is blether shite. You've obviously been speaking to my wife because she would completely agree that all I had is blether shite.
Hopefully continue, and obviously we'll get into it. Jones being out injured. Well, that's wrong, isn't it? Who am I thinking of?
Jones is out and injured.
No, there was somebody out. I'm talking shit, it's fine. I mean, it wasn't even BYOB. It was. It shouldn't have been out. Foxy, that up.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm actually here. I'm actually with you. I'm actually with you in the same room.
Amazing. I don't know how to take that. I've got my back to you, so anything could happen.
Exactly, you could take anything, exactly. But to be honest with you, mate, I'm only here for one reason, and that's for the Pepsi Max, as you know.
You know, sort of provided by myself as
exactly.
Well.
You would think after all these years, the people at Pepsi Max, or the amount of mentions that we give them, and the bastards haven't even sent us even a free crate of juice, or, you know, even something simple like geezer, a couple of grand just to sponsor the pod, you know? Cause,
well, that might help, aye.
Exactly, because a couple of grand to the Pepsi Corporation's nothing. It's like, you know, we keep getting told a couple of million pounds to Dermot Desmond's, like, nothing to him. You're just loose change in the back of his couch. So we're told on a regular basis as well. But no, it's great to be here, mate. It's great to be in your impressive studio as always.
I mean, never mind BYOB, it should have been BYOPM.
BYOPM?
Bring your own Pepsi Max.
No, that'll never happen, mate. Ever.
Yes, we've got a few games to cover here. We've got the European games, the Premiership game against St Mirren, and the unfortunate game against Celtic that happened the weekend there.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yep.
So we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. Before we start, we'll need to obviously address a tweet I put out, won't we, Dave?
On you go, Derek. I'll let you explain.
Yes. Was it harsh sounding tone? Yes, it was. Was it over the top? Maybe it was. Do I stand by its sentiment? Absolutely. Obviously, it was in relation to the club issuing a statement on the back of the second charge we got against Warsaw. Their statement specifically highlighted those in the BF1 section, in other words, the Union Bears, and it was again for the first charge against St Joseph's. Now, we'll take away all the issues with, you know, what we think about UEFA and FAIR and all that kind of thing. And it actually turns out that UEFA were the ones that highlighted that specific section, were to blame for the St Joseph's game. Now, could the club have done better at communicating this? Then absolutely, I think they could have. Whether they knew about it at the time, I don't know, but it's something that the club need to do better at communicating. However, my tweet singled out those who sit in that area, including arguably their most visible member. My tweet also stated that anyone who thinks that sectarian songs are acceptable, you don't need to jog on as well. And some people seem to have missed that one in the rush to having a go at me for, you know, highlighting the Union Bears and obviously Ross McGill in that one there. I don't know Ross, but I do know that if you are the group's most visible member, their leader, their spokesperson or whatever, then by default you are rightly or wrongly going to get singled out. But you've got to accept that you're going to get name-checked as well sometimes. I don't think it's only the Union Bears that are to blame, absolutely not. However, in their statement, when they issued that they are the voice of Ibrox, and people say that the Union Bears are the only one who ever starts singing, then you've got to kind of do a bit of deduction from there, who else is to blame? Now, the Union Bears do a lot of good for Rangers, absolutely, there's no question about that, but there's an element that let themselves down on occasion, and the club down. They issued a statement after Rangers saying that their section was going to be closed down, and again, the club could have done a lot better in the communication in relation to that. But what they issued was, in my opinion, a very self-indulgent and throwing the toys out of the pram. Now, they've got previous for this, like what happened at the end of last year when it came to them being refused moving and them being refused the safe standing section. All their statement should have really said was, we disagree with the club's stance, we'll seek with dialogue with the club. In the meantime, we'll endeavour to remind our members that they are ambassadors for the club and they've got responsibilities that singing songs that are deemed unacceptable they can't do. That's all their statement had to say. But it was a toys out the pram type affair. They started going into things about, well, the club quite happily use our TIFO and all that kind of thing in their promotion. Well, everybody can get their picture taken and anything can happen in the stadium that the club can use. It does say so on the tickets. It says so in the terms and conditions of attending games. So I felt their statement was unjust. Their banner was unjust. As I said, they do a lot of good. In terms of singling out them and obviously their most visible member, then that's going to happen on occasion because they've got to accept the criticism when it comes, when you quite rightly accept the praise when it comes, because as I said, they do a lot of good. But it's the toys out of the pram, self-indulgentness that got my back up on that. So that's really all I want to say about the Union Bears in relation to that. I don't know if you've got anything to add, Dave, on that.
Derek, you know my stance on it. I've been attending games a wee bit longer than you, and I can remember everything. Going back a long time. As far as I'm concerned, the Union Bears, we do need the Union Bears at Ibrox. I am of the opinion, though, like you, that a lot of people in the Union Bears should be taking responsibility for what is being sung and what isn't. Now, the tweets and the replies that we've had back, I have to say from a lot of them, and this is coming from me and Derek having spoke about this already, it is absolutely disgusting, some of the stuff that we've had sent back, Derek, and I know that it was you that put the tweet out, but I am a part of this show. So there are a lot of people not using their real names and stuff like that that are firing threats and that at us. Get a fucking grip, boys. Get a fucking grip of yourselves. That's all I'm going to say. Yous only being the big men by sending us anonymous tweets, making threats and all that to us. I really don't give a shit. I'm too old for all that crap. The one thing that I will say, Derek, that I agree with you. They need to take responsibility because they are ambassadors for the club. Everybody knew that we were going to be getting monitored. Everybody. It was everywhere. It was plastered everywhere. I don't think the club need to blimmin' drum it into everybody's head that that's what's happening, because you're supposed to be adults and you're supposed to be taking responsibility for the club. We've been hammered by this. We've now got sections of the stand getting closed because of it. Now, am I solely blaming the Union Bears? No, I'm not. But the Union Bears have got a responsibility. They are the ones that set off. The vast majority of the songs get set off by the Union Bears, which I think is fantastic. I do. And I do think we need them. But they need to take some responsibility here. And I'm not, again, solely blaming them. I'm not. But come on, get a fucking grip, boys. And all of this there, you were getting tweets back saying, aye, you're so fucking naive. And, you know, you can't say, being a fucking snowflake, you've never sang all these songs before. Of course we have. We've all sang these songs at one point or another. But now, and I mean now, we are being hammered for it big time. And it dawned on me a long, long, long time ago, and I'm well in my 40s now, Derek, as you know, a long time ago, that singing these songs, we're going to get singled out for it, totally, and we're going to get punished. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, mate. That's the way that I see it. So I am urging guys in the Union Bears to use the power that you've got to drum it into people that we can't sing these songs. That's what I'm looking for out of all this, Derek. And they are a voice. They are a huge voice in the club. So just be responsible. That's all I'm asking for. And I'm not solely blaming them. I'm not. But again, going back to the fucking anonymous keyboard warriors out of there that just want to fire. And I know the vast majority of them are 15, 14, 15, 16 year old laddies that think they're hard as fuck. I'm no interested. I'm really not. Grow up and take some fucking responsibility. That's all I want to say on that, Derek.
I mean, in relation to that, yes, Dave and I don't give out our surnames, and we don't give very, you know, don't give out our personal details at all. And that's for a very good reason. We've found out, obviously, over the last couple of days, what can happen when that happens. Obviously, the disgusting comment that somebody made to Scott Brown the other day. Some vindictive arsehole put out some personal details of a Rangers fan, and he's had death threats now, and he's had to, you know, obviously go to the media, go to the police to try and get this sorted out. So that's the reason why Dave and I don't give out our names, so don't bother tweeting us asking for our names either. In relation to all of us singing the songs, yes, of course, we always sing the songs, and I did put out a tweet saying that I don't do it in public, you know, I very rarely do it at all now, but I pick and choose when I make comments like that, and I certainly don't do it in public or at a football ground when, one, I'm likely to get arrested and a criminal record, and two, when it can affect the club like that. If you want to sing it on buses and sing it on, you know, in specific clubs and things like that, I'm not going to condone it, but, you know, go ahead and do it. Just don't bring it to the football, because it brings Rangers down, it brings yourself down, so... We've discussed that quite in length.
Yes,
bit longer, but we'll move on now, won't we?
Right, fire away, mate. We can calm down now.
My blood pressure's going through the roof again.
Well, we can calm down until we get into your last game.
Well, yeah, and I think I'm getting the Twitter taken off me as well by Dave.
Definitely. I've changed the password, so that's it.
We are the people 1690 and Billy Boys or something. Yes, so I suppose we better get in down the tunnel and onto the park and cover the first game, which is Thursday the 22nd of August, away to Legia Warsaw. Is that how you pronounce it? I can never say that right.
I always, for years and years and years, Derek, going back to even when I was a young boy playing sensible world of soccer, always known them as Legia Warsaw, but I've heard people calling them that, I've heard people call them Legia, whatever, but I think we all know the club you're talking about anyway.
Warsaw.
Exactly, that'll be.
Yes. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Flanagan, Jack, Davis, Aribo, Arfield, Ojo, Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Hellander, Barisic, Kamara, King, Jones and Defoe. Now, we came away with a nil each draw, didn't we? So I don't think it was the worst ever result. It could have been better. I would have preferred a one each draw, but I wasn't going to really say, you know, it was a bad result.
No, it wasn't, because they are a very good team, Derek. A very, very good team, as all Celtic fans will remember from a few years ago. A big club also. And am I right in saying, Derek, they hadn't conceded a single goal in all competitions so far this season? Is that right?
That was correct, yeah.
So it was always going to be a very tough game. But as you say, a wee bit disappointed, because I do think that we could have maybe have sneaked it at the end, especially the chance that Morelos had as well. But, you know, still a very good result, Derek.
Yeah. So in the 8th minute, there was a good challenge by Flanagan in midfield on the left. Great long pass out wide right to Tavernier, who crosses it into the box. And Ojo, who was under pressure, got his head to it, but it was just wide. That was a gilt-edged chance, that,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, definitely, yep.
Yeah. 9th minute, McGregor forced to make a good save after the attacker managed to get a shot off. Just after that, the ball was not cleared by us, and the ball was played out to the left hand side. Cross came in and goes right to the feet of the attacker, who got the ball tangled in his legs within the 6 yard box, and Goldson managed to come across and bundle the ball out for the corner. You know, dangerous, you know, straight away there. And then the last piece of play I've got of the half, unbelievably, was in the 29th minute. A really big save from McGregor after the attacker got the ball in the box on the right-hand side. Hit a shot. It was right at him, but it was hit with pace, so McGregor had to be a bit alert there. And that really doesn't tell the story. All I've got the highlights, because obviously in the highlights I only, you know, really talk about main chances. It was a very, very tough game. It was a midfield battle where each team was kind of cancelling each other out in the first half.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a very patient, mature performance in the first half. Really hallmarks of a very tactical game from both teams. Warsaw were happy for us to have possession now in our own half, and they were compact and compressed when we went forward. We had a lot of possession, and we defended well when needed to, although McGregor did come into action twice. So into the second half, obviously we thought we were, you know, still in there, as we were. 46 minute, Warsaw came down the left, the cross came into the edge of the box, and it was on the volley, and he gets a shot over the bar. 49th minute, was a header just over the bar from a corner from Warsaw. 61st minute, it was a long free kick into our box on the right, a header by their attacker just wide. So really in the second half, we were under the caution.
Yes, we were, yep.
62nd minute, Goldson allows the ball to bounce outside the box and loses possession, couldn't get the ball away and he was too feared to put a challenge in. Flanagan then comes steamrolling in from the other side, puts an outstanding challenge in to take the ball off the attacker inside the box and cleared. That was outstanding from Flanagan there, wasn't it? Really mopping up for Goldson's mistake there.
Definitely, Derek, and it's one thing. I've been impressed with John Flanagan in any time I've seen him this season. He had a few dodgy moments last season, but certainly the end of last season and coming in so far, he's certainly looked a stable, steady player for us, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's considering he's not a naturally left-footed player. You know, he's playing what we would say out of position, and he's been brilliant so far. So on the 63rd minute, there was a lovely ball played through the middle of the Warsaw defence to Morelos. Ball going to the right and Morelos hits a shot. The keeper done well and he came charging out and managed to stop the shot. Probably our best chance of the game so far.
Yep.
66 minute, corner from the left from Davis, and Katic has a header just over the bar. Again, it was one of these ones, if he had got it on target, it was a good chance of going in. 67th minute, Aribo had a shot from 20 yards, but a weak effort and comfortably gathered by the keeper. 72nd minute, good ball to the left of our defence into the box by Warsaw. Their attacker took the ball forward, had a shot from an angle, but wide over the bar. 73rd minute, Warsaw down the right, cuts the ball inside. The attacker picks up the ball on the edge of the box on the right, takes it further into the box and has a shot, but McGregor makes another good save. 77th minute, good move down the right, ball comes to Morelos on the edge of the box on the right and hits a snapshot, but it was right at the keeper and a comfortable save. And the last piece of play we've got here is 86 minute, Morelos and Arfield off, Defoe and Kamara came on, and it was the first time we had seen the ref enforcing the new rule about players must leave at the nearest touchline as well. Yep. So that's how the game rounded out. You know, I can't say we're disappointed with it. As I said, we would have preferred a one each, but certainly going away from home, not conceding is a big plus.
Yeah, as it was bringing back flashbacks of Walter Smith playing in Europe, Derek, wasn't it? It was there trying to keep it tight to get back to Ibrox to try and score and win the match. That was always, you know, we always used to see that as a good result. I mean, Derek, we've got to think, this is, let's be honest, with everything that we've been through, we are still, you know, for the club going forward for a completely new set of players, it's kind of new ground for us. I mean, it was great last year getting as far as we did. We didn't think that we would do it. This is a slight progression, and you know, I was more than content because I did have a feeling that we would be able to do the job in the second leg at Ibrox, and you know, we didn't have any goals to claw back or anything like that, so we knew a win of any kind at Ibrox and we were going through, so I was happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, a lot of work to do in the second leg, obviously, at home at Ibrox, and the big fear, obviously, was the conceding the away goal, and that would make our life doubly as hard, but we'll get into that game eventually. So, yep. The next game we've got to cover is Sunday the 25th of August. It was away to St Mirren. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Kamara, Aribo, Jack, Jones, Defoe and Arfield. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Davis, Halliday, Morelos, King and Hasty, and we obviously won that game 1-0.
Yes.
So, turned out to be another quite tough game, didn't it? And I don't think it needed to be.
No, I don't think so, but you know, we know again, Derek, especially from last season, it was games like this that we would stumble. Because we know that the home team will pack their defence, and that honestly, that's taking it to the extreme the way that St Mirren played this game, because it basically was 10 men behind the ball at all times, wasn't it?
I think it was 11 men in their box at some point. So
it was quite incredible. I mean, I know that we do joke about it and stuff like that, but this was defending to the extreme. They basically had 5 men across the back. I honestly don't know if they were playing with a striker, because I'm thinking back to the match and thinking of any actual attacks that they made, because all of their chances that they had were from, I mean, they obviously did have attacks, you know, winning corners or lumping the ball into the box, but as actual sort of free-flowing attacking moves, I honestly can't remember. You know, obviously they had a couple, but there's nothing sprung out. They certainly didn't put us under a lot of pressure in the game, because they were basically going out not to get beat.
I think a lot of clubs would have looked at the Hibs game when we battered them 6-1 earlier this season and taken that as like a template of what not to do, and don't try and play football against us because they'll just get hammered. So it's going to be these defensive, really tight games, and we're going to have 38 cup finals effectively,
aren't
we?
There's defensive games, and then there's basically not attacking, Derek, and just trying to put it. It was actually quite incredible. It's I've seen a lot of games similar, but I think that took it to the extreme, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah. So in the second minute, there was a long header knocked up to Defoe, who was facing away from the goal. He knocked it down to Arfield, who laid off a great pass into the box. Defoe had a sliding shot, but he hit it wide. I think that was the first chance straight away, and we thought, well, we could have scored that, and we should have scored that, and that would have settled all the nerves.
You corrected yourself there, Derek. He should have scored that. I mean, that for a guy like Jermaine Defoe is, you know, 99 times out of 100 he would have fired that into the net. So I think we were all really, really shocked, but at the same time we thought, oh well, as early in the game as that, we're making chances, so this should be a walk in the park.
Yeah. 28th minute, there was a long cross floated into the box from St Mirren on the right. McGregor seemed to leave it, and then it hit the top of the bar. It could have easily went in. I don't know if he was blinded by the lights, or about blinded by the sun.
Blinded by the light. Takes me back to John Lukic again when we played Leeds United. Going back a bit.
I know the sun was right in his face, but I mean, it was quite lucky from our point of view, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been a complete fluke, Derek, but yeah, it was. It did come off. Thankfully, it didn't nestle in the net.
On the 32nd minute, it was a long shot from Goldson. It bounces in front of the keeper, but right at him, and it was a comfortable save. And the last piece of play in the half, the 35th minute, it was a lot of possession, ending in Tavernier putting a great cross into the box. Arfield headers the ball within the 6-yard box on the right, comes off the face of the keeper, who didn't know much about it, and eventually cleared out for the corner. So potentially a bit lucky there, given the fact that it hit off the face of the keeper and he never knew anything about it. But sometimes you've got to create your own luck, so... A disappointing first half, I would have said. We never created really anything. They had a good chance as well, probably the best chance of the game so far with it coming off the bar. You know, we needed to play a bit better.
Disappointing first half, Derek, and already the tweets were coming in fast and furious from a lot of our fans saying, "Up, no learnt anything, back to the same shite as last year, we're going to get beat here, we're going to drop points here, blah, blah, blah." And that's when I said to myself, if we win this game even 1-0, I will be delighted, because like I said before, I thought St Mirren was as negative football as you could possibly play, Derek, in my opinion, and all they were trying to do was get an 0-0 draw out of the match. So,
but do you know what? That's what we've got to expect, and that's,
I know,
you know, fair play to them. If they know their weaknesses and they can play to that almost, it sounds really negative, which it was, but if they are looking for a draw and that's the way they think they can get it, then we've got to expect that, and fair play to them, I suppose.
I don't know. I'm always one of our home fans are here. They've paid money to come and watch this. It's on the TV. We really need to give a good account for ourselves, and that just wasn't, in my opinion. And that's no sour grapes for them to come out and attack us and give us chances and all that, but you know, I am always one where I would be thinking of my support and all that, and maybe the St Mirren support are delighted watching their team sit back and just, you know, try and nullify us as much as possible. Maybe they're quite happy with that, but I know I certainly wouldn't be if I was watching my team doing that at home.
But then when you think about the way we played in Europe under Walter, his second time, then we played not as negatively as that, but we did play anti-football
second
on occasion.
Time, Derek. I remember the first time when he used to play five in defence and stuff like that. It certainly
and we still got hammered, didn't we?
Still, exactly, and that's going back again, sorry, to the Legia Warsaw result away from home. I was watching Walter with bigger, stronger, more expensive teams getting beat by clubs like AEK Athens and things like that away from home. So that's why, you know, sorry, going back to that game, you know, that I wasn't disappointed. But I think in Scotland, I think you can always have a wee pop and have a game plan to try and at least, you know, create something in a match. But they just weren't doing that whatsoever. So. No.
So in the second half, a much improved performance was needed, and in the 46th minute, the corner came in from the right. There was a good header from Aribo, and it went just by the post. 54th minute, we had a lot of possession, ending in Jack having a 20-yard shot, forcing the keeper to make a good save and put it out of the corner. And then we got our goal on the 58th minute. It was a free kick from about 20 yards, up and over the wall from Barisic, and right into the postage stamp. Outstanding goal, wasn't it?
And I just want to say, I have been praising this guy since we bought him. That's all I can say. No, Derek, it was a fantastic goal. Technique and everything. I think he took like one step back for it as well. You know, it wasn't a big run up or anything like that. It was one step back, and it was just sheer accuracy for the man. And I think it's done him the world of good, Derek, because I know he didn't play in the last game, but I think the games that he's played since then, he's looked a completely different player, more assured, more confident, and I just hope that improves. I'm hoping that that's going to be stepping stone.
Yeah, hopefully. 66th minute, Jones came off and Davis came on. 74th minute, Defoe to Tavernier on the right-hand side. Tavernier feeds a great ball into the box to Defoe, who got in front of the defender, had a shot, but it flashed across the goal and out for the goal kick. Just after that, Defoe came off and Morelos came on. And in the 79th minute, Morelos got the ball in the box on the right, takes it to the touchline, then drags it back out to find an angle and hits a shot right at the keeper, but it was a really good effort nonetheless. 84th minute, Arfield came off and King came on. 88th minute, was a good quick break up the park, ended in Jack having a shot from the edge of the box, but right at the keeper. And the last piece of play in the game, 89th minute, St Mirren right up the park from our last attack, got it to the right, cross played in on the deck from the right, flicks up off the boot of the attacker and into the arms of McGregor, a really dangerous attack. And I'm always nervous now when it's just 1-0, because I can see it coming, and we always get punished for our mistakes, as we'll come to find out in the Celtic game.
Yes.
Yeah, but we rounded out the game anyway, 1-0, and obviously just delighted to take the 3 points away. We're going to need to learn that not to judge the team based on performances when teams play like that against us. If we come away with a scrappy 1-0 win, the points are all that matters at the end of the day, and the discussion about the performance can happen another day. The 3 points are the main thing, aren't they?
They are for us now, Derek. When it comes down to games like this, the 3 points are all that matters. We were the dominant team in the game, Derek. I do think we could have played a hell of a lot better. I do think we've got the tools now to completely change our gameplay if we want. But thankfully, you know, we rounded the game off 1-0. But I think that, you know, St Mirren were as defensive a team as you will find against us this season.
Yeah. So at least we got the result, that was the main thing, and it set us up nicely for the next game, which was Thursday the 29th of August at home to Warsaw in the second leg of the playoff for the Europa League, and we won 1-0. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Barisic, Jack, Davis, Aribo, Ojo, Morelos and Arfield. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Hellander, Kamara, Jones, Defoe, Flanagan and Stewart. And it was kind of a game much like the last one, wasn't it, in terms of two tactical sides battling off against each other?
Touchy-feely, I would say, Derek, to be honest with you. Both teams really not wanting to make any mistakes, although a very good game to actually watch. You know, we can't say there was any bad play. It was two teams who were, I think, quite equal, shall we say, that were really going for it, that none of the teams were wanting to certainly lose any at the back, and you could just see a wee sort of sneaky 1-0 to us. I had a good feeling about the game, Derek. I did think that we were going to go through that night, but obviously it was whether or not it was going to last the full 90 minutes and go into extra time or not.
Yeah, I mean, we left it late, didn't we? But we'll get into that.
Yes.
On the first minute, Arfield picked up the loose ball in midfield and got the ball into the box, stumbled a bit and put the cross on the deck from the right, but it was right to their defender. Warsaw went right up the park after that, got the ball into the box and took it right and hit a shot, and it was right at McGregor. In the fourth minute, Morelos got the ball in the box, drove it forward, body checked out the game just outside the box, falls to Ojo, ref wave for play on. Ojo had a shot but shanked it well wide. Would have preferred the free kick, obviously, after the last one. Ninth minute, it was a good possession play after picking up the loose ball. Ball played on the right, lovely trickery by Jack to lose the defender, then put in an inch-perfect cross to Morelos in the box, who headers it just wide. again, it was another one of these ones. If it was on target, it was in.
Yes, exactly. Really unlucky with that one.
Yep. 10th minute, it was good play with Aribo finding Ojo in the box. Could only put it to a weak toe poke on target with it easily being gathered by the keeper. 23rd minute, Morelos got the ball on the left of the box, cuts inside to the middle and hits a shot but right at the keeper. 34th minute, Tavernier defending under pressure on the edge of the box, loses out to the attacker who gets into the box and it's a shot but it was a fairly comfortable save. It was more of a poor effort by their attacker rather than anything, to be honest. 38th minute, it was a shocking challenge on Aribo at the dugout and the touchline. Yellow card given, however, arguably could have been red as it was reckless and dangerous. So, you know, a bit of leniency from a European referee there, which is a bit strange. 46th minute, it was a corner from the right by Warsaw with the header just by the post by their attacker, and that rounded out the half. So, certainly all to play for. Big 45 minutes coming up. I wouldn't have said we were playing bad. It was, again, much like the last game, a very tactical midfield battle where they were dangerous going forward, but we were equally as dangerous, but again, not on target.
A quality team, Derek, and, you know, you're playing a very good team. So far, it was, you know, the plan was going the way that, you know, I think that Steven Gerrard was wanting. He knew we were going to have a really, really tough game. We were keeping it tight at the back as well as still trying to, you know, to play. So at that point, I was still relatively happy at that point, Derek.
Just at that point. So, as I said, big 45 coming up, or maybe it was more than that. We'll get into that. 48th minute, Morelos fouled on the right, advantage played. Tavernier gets the ball into the box and beats his man. Then the ref pulls it back for the original foul against us. Just shocking piece of refereeing there, wasn't it? 63rd minute, Barisic off and Flanagan on. It was a good shift from Barisic. He got a knock and a yellow, so possibly quite a tactical decision there.
Yeah.
I think, from what I heard as well, Gerrard wasn't too happy with Barisic when he came off, because when he got in the dugout, he almost shoved him in the dugout. That's what I've heard from an eyewitness who was there.
All right, I wonder what was going on there.
I know he was kind of complaining after he got the head knock about, you know, he's still feeling a bit nah, so I don't know, maybe there was a bit of concussion there, I don't know.
Possibly.
So, yeah. 65th minute, was a good cross into the box from the right, finds the head of Morelos, but well wide. It took a slight nick off the defender just before Morelos had headed it as well, so that put Morelos off. 69th minute, we stopped their counter-attack and started their own with Davis charging with the ball. Ended up in Ojo having a curling shot from the right-hand side of the box, forcing the keeper make a good save. We picked the ball up again, knocked it about, ended up in a shot from Morelos just flashing by the right-hand post. Good piece of play there.
Yep.
71st minute, long deep ball from the right from Tavernier. Morelos with the volley inside the box on the left, hits the ground and the sting taken out of the ball, and it was comfortably gathered by the keeper. 72nd minute, Arfield off and Jones on. 75th minute, the game halted due to smoke from multiple flares by Warsaw. We had been in the complete ascendancy for the last 10 minutes before that, and it was maybe that was one of their tactics from their fans. If they see if they're on the cosh, they'll try and get the game stopped. But it's amazing that you can't get a Capri Sun into Ibrox yet they can get about 10 flares. So.
Exactly, yes, I know. Quite incredible. And but again, big shout out to all the Warsaw fans, including Arthur Boric, because, you know, they did stop the game and it didn't do them any good, so get it fucking right up.
Well, exactly, aye, they never thought about that one. But I've got to say, weirdly, and I'm not a big fan of flares and bringing them into the stadium, obviously for the dangerous purposes, but when the smoke had cleared a lot and there was this haze over Ibrox, it looked cracking.
Okay. Just as long as there's no fucking Johnny Hayes, which will get into here later on as well. Aye.
Dave, just get out. Get out.
I know. No, Derek, I actually think this done us a favour, because we were on the ascendancy, but at the same time, it sort of broke up their defensive play as well. So although, as you say, we were on it, their defenders had been under the cosh. They were, you know, they were concentrating, and maybe this sort of stoppage in the game has potentially, you know, relaxed their defence slightly, and thankfully, as you're about to get into, I'm sure we were able to capitalise on that.
Yep. So in the 78th minute, the game kicked off again. 82nd minute, was a free kick from Warsaw, floated into the box, flicked on by the leg of the Warsaw player, and taking no chances, McGregor tipped it over the bar. It was quite dangerous. 86th minute, corner from Tavernier, Katic gets his head to it but well over the bar. 88th minute, good tenacious play from Davis to win the ball back in midfield, gets the ball to Ojo who has a shot, a great shot from distance on the right, and the keeper made a save. 89th minute was a long ball up by Warsaw, their attacker gets the ball in the box on the left, cuts inside from 10 yards, gets a shot off but right at McGregor who had to be alert. And then on the 90th minute, we went 1-0 up, and the goal that secured our place in the Europa League with Morelos scoring. It was a lovely ball from Jones on the left-hand side of the box with Morelos heading it into the back of the net. Outstanding goal.
Great goal. Great play by Jones on the left-hand side. Didn't he do the outswinger, as I think a lot of people and the defender were expecting him to try and get to the byline? He didn't do that. He cut the ball back and dinked the ball in, and a fantastic header by Morelos. A great goal, as I say, and just shows you that the concentration levels by Morelos still up there. Fantastic header, peeled away for his man, and as I say, great cross in, and Ibrox just completely erupted, didn't it? It was fantastic to see.
I mean, everybody who was in the stadium that I've spoke to, and what you've seen on Twitter and the social media pages, the atmosphere was incredible at that point, and everybody was rocking, there was limbs everywhere. And one thing to note as well, this was the first game where we had a sort of partial stadium ban with 3,000 fans not there, including the Union Bears, and everybody who has came away from the game says the atmosphere was brilliant. Whether this moment had anything to do with it, I don't know, and it maybe coloured their thing, because certainly on RTV there sounded as if there was only one pocket of fans singing, but everybody says it was great, a great atmosphere, and this was the highlight of it, obviously scoring, and incredible, wasn't it? Incredible scenes.
It really was. It was brilliant. It was going back to nights that we all remember. And Derek, a fantastic achievement again. We were told last season that there was only been 7 teams had ever qualified from the Europa League, that, you know, that we're in from round one, and that's just done it 2 seasons in a row now. So absolutely fantastic.
Just, I said it in the post match, just absolutely astonishing what we've been able to do with that one there. It's, you know, a massive, massive thing for the club. A lot of money going to be made from this, obviously, and it showed you know, with a transfer we'll get into as well later on. I think that was the thing that there was a catalyst for that transfer.
Yes, and well, definitely.
And just the prestige of playing in there as well. Just rounding out the game, just after the goal, Jones and their defender had some sort of off-the-ball issue in the Warsaw box. Morelos runs 20 yards to be the peacemaker. Can I just say that again? Morelos runs 20 yards to be the peacemaker.
Exactly.
Just mental, the change in attitude he's had this season has been amazing, and just shows you how much of an important player he can be when he keeps the head. Jones near defender given yellow cards as well. That was fair play for the referee, because I think he could have made it a lot worse. In the 94th minute, Ojo off and Kamara on, and in the final whistle blew, more bedlam from the stands, more bedlam from the pitch, and their players tried to get into it again with Jones, I think, and a couple of our players, and Morelos standing again 20 yards away, not getting involved.
No, quite incredible. I know.
Yes, but absolutely brilliant. And obviously,
I either that or Disney particularly like Jones. maybe once when we get lamped, I don't know.
That could be. Well, I think a lot of players wanted to lamp him certainly after Sunday. So obviously, it's made us watch the draw last week there, and we've got a great group. I think Feyenoord, FC Porto and Young Boys. Couldn't ask for a better group, certainly a bit of glamour and a bit of realism in terms of, well, it's doable, I would have said.
We're going to have an incredibly hard game against Porto, Derek. They are a huge club. They're a fantastic team. They really are. Maybe not as famous names as they once had under their sort of more prestigious teams under like Jose Mourinho and that, but still a phenomenal team. Still going to be, if we can get any type of result out of them, home or away, it would be an amazing achievement. The other two teams, I don't know much about, you know, Swiss football with Young Boys. I don't know what kind of team that they'll be, but I know any time we have played Swiss opposition, we've had hard games, Derek. It's been very difficult.
They got put out of the Champions League qualifiers apparently this year. So
and going on to Feyenoord again, Dutch football, I honestly don't think they are as strong as the Feyenoord teams of the past, but still will be, you know, big, big names in European football, Derek. So it's going to be fantastic, isn't it?
I think you look at that group, they are discounting young boys, but Feyenoord, FC Porto and us, you could say all three massive, former massive names on the European stage. And definitely, certainly, obviously, they've all big names, yes, but they're not, none of us are where we used to be in Europe. So,
well, Derek, there's no, is it, what expectation is there on us, really? I mean, I know that we will have our fans that, you know, believe that we should be beating, you know, Bayern Munich, Man City and all that and everything. But realistically, there's no expectations on us here, Derek, which is the way I absolutely like it, because I know that any team that will come to Ibrox, especially, you know, on a big European night, will get a really hard game. And, you know, if we can keep it tight, who knows? Who knows what could happen? So, no, I'm really looking forward to it, Derek.
I think if you look at last year, I think we were very unlucky not to get through. Yeah, it was a two middle games against Spartak, yes, that cost us. So if we can, you know, keep our back tight, as it were, and get a good break and, you know, get a couple of sneaky goals, then, you know, anything can happen. So
I thought we can just go and steamroller every single one of them, Derek, and hammer them.
Aye, and then we're winning it this year.
Exactly.
We're winning it. Aye.
Exactly.
But certainly the first game is September the 19th against Feyenoord, and it's at home, and that's the next game that is going to be... We're going to be down 3,000 fans, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Next game after that is the 3rd of October. That's against Young Boys away. Rangers already came out and said that they're not taking any away allocation there. That was obviously to try and negate any further punishment, obviously, from the second charge against Warsaw. 24th of October, Porto away. The 7th of November, Porto at home. November the 28th, Feyenoord away. And December the 12th, Young Boys at home. So I know from us playing Feyenoord the last time, their fans are a bit mental, so I hope everything stays calm there, both home and away.
Derek, it's the only time all the years that I've been going to Ibrox that I have genuinely felt unsafe at a game. I don't know, I mean, I can remember it quite clearly, you know, 5 minutes before the game kicked off, a large section of the Feyenoord fans changing places with the Feyenoord fans that were standing right next to all of us in the Govan stand, and they basically just all piled in and started fighting. And hopefully Rangers have remembered this, and the police and stewarding know what's going on, because there was about four stewards trying to keep about 30 of their fans all in and stop them from fighting. And it was pretty scary stuff, Derek. I was in amongst it all, and I'm certainly, as you know, I'm not a violent person, Derek. I'm not wanting to get involved in stuff like that.
Stop punching me, Dave.
But it was pretty dodgy stuff, and I thought for 1 minute that I was going to end up getting embroiled in a large disturbance with the Feyenoord fans, and they were coming over, they were spitting on us, they were doing all sorts. It was absolutely shocking. So I really hope that the police and the steward and get their acts together, because they certainly are a club with a reputation of fans causing problems. So here's hoping that there's no unsavoury scenes in Ibrox like there was that night.
Yes, so prices for the games have been announced. £111 through the three-game package. That's £5 up on last year, apparently. £39 dearer than Celtic's three games. They struggled to sell out their ground last year. I think they were a good few thousand under capacity.
As they always do, unless they're playing us, Derek.
Well, exactly. And they've kept their prices the same as last year. They can afford to do that. And, you know, they won't sell out. We will. That's the difference. And I had some Celtic fan, you know, try to be smart, or just he was an idiot. You know, or we've still had more ground. We had more fans in our stadium than yous had in your ground. Well, your bigger capacity stadium. So I don't know what that means. So, but I know it's a big chunk of money to come out. I think it's the timing for fans. But at the same time, if you sign up for the continuous credit card scheme, you know there's a potential that these games are going to come out. So, you know, if you complain about it, then I can see your point. But then don't sign up for that scheme at the same time. Could the club maybe do something with the credit and not have all the payments coming out in a winner or in a very close time? Maybe, but that's an argument for another day. So,
Derek, we've got £7 million to make up here, mate. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Every £5 counts, right, doesn't it?
So, supporters wanted it, so come on. No, it is a lot of money, Derek. But you know, for games like this, we've been starved of games like this in the past. So I don't think there'll be a lot of fans. Well, you know, they might have a wee gripe, but they'll certainly pay the money, Derek, at the end of the day. So
yeah. So, next game we've got to unfortunately cover is Sunday the 1st of September. It was at home to Celtic where we lost 2-0.
Where did it all go wrong?
We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Flanagan, Jack, Davis, Kamara, Aribo, Arfield and Defoe. You can tell with my enthusiasm by saying this how much I want to do it. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Hellander, Barisic, King, Ojo, Morelos and Jones.
Right, and stop there straight away. Yep. Right, starting 11, Derek. As soon as we seen it, we were like, what the fuck is this? They've got a makeshift defence, they've got makeshift fullbacks, and we don't have any wingers playing. Yeah. Also, the first thing I thought to myself was, up until the last game in Europe, I was saying to myself, do we play Defoe against Celtic? Going with the fact how well Morelos played against Legia Warsaw, scoring that goal in the 90th minute, I thought, there's no way that we can't play Morelos. He will be absolutely buzzing after scoring that goal in the 90th minute. He'll be well up for this. Surely we'll be playing, you know, at least one winger and Morelos. And when I seen, as soon as I seen the team get announced, I thought, that is an away performance at a big stadium. That is what I thought straight away, and I had concerns as soon as I seen the team. You, what was your thoughts on it?
Similar, but it's one of these things where if it works, he's a hero. If it doesn't work, then he's a failure. And unfortunately, in this time, it was a failure. It reeked of somebody trying to be a wee bit too smart with tactics, I think. You know, as Graeme Souness keeps saying, football's a simple game. Get the ball up the park, then worry about tactics, and, you know, later, and get the ball in the back of the net. That's the name of the game. I felt, as much as they were part of the team that were successful, I felt Arfield had been flagging over the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. He was something up with him. Likewise with Morelos, you know, I felt he could have started the game. Defoe shouldn't have been on the park. Goldson made a few mistakes. Again, he was part of a solid back line, so who you know, never conceded a goal in the last couple of games. So do you keep him in? I suppose you do. That turned out to be a mistake, but hindsight's a great thing. But yeah, absolutely, the wide option was a big, big mistake,
we,
I think.
We played right into their hands with this one, Derek. As soon as that team was announced, I think Neil Lennon has said, fantastic. Our defence, I don't think, is going to get tested as much here. They have got no width whatsoever in that team. They're gone for a midfield battle. And the one thing that Celtic do have with McGregor and Brown are guys that are, and I'm no bigging up them in any way, I really am not, because I'm not a fan of Scott Brown in the slightest, but that is the type of game that Scott Brown will relish, where the ball is in the middle of the park, so he doesn't have that much running to do, but he can get involved in absolutely everything. And I think we played right into their hands, Derek, I really do.
I think it's more the case of, as well, with no wide player on the park, or no natural wide player, if your plan A fails, which it clearly did in this one, in terms of going forward, then you've no backup to try and vary it. So then you need to make a sub, so which means your tactics are all to cock. You've had to use a sub as well. So there was no variation in the play, and I don't think we played as bad as everybody's making out, certainly in the first half anyway. I felt some of our play was outstanding, our interplay. It was where we failed was in the final third.
Definitely, definitely. But it was, I know you're going to get into the game here, Derek, so we'll have another wee thought at half-time, so I'll let you get into the match now.
Right. So straight from the kickoff, I've never seen this before, to be honest, and it was like an American football kickoff. Celtic kick it off immediately and put it out for a throw-in deep into our half. Basically, their thought was try and win possession of the ball back deep in our half anyway, and it worked, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. So, and then Celtic, on the second minute, there was a long shot over the bar. So in the 8th minute, some lovely play started by a shocking challenge by Callum McGregor, which I'll get into in a minute. We picked up the loose ball and broke quickly. Some lovely interplay from our midfield and going forward. Ended up losing the ball. Celtic broke quickly. We managed to regain possession again in our half. Then we had another quick break up the park. Some lovely interplay once again and some through balls, which are outstanding. And we pulled a through ball into the box and it ended up in a corner from us. So
I'll take that pass as our play. We lost the possession in their third. We got it back in our half, and then we played great up the field again. So again, twice the play broke down.
Yep.
In Celtic's final third, some great defending but poor up front. But the challenge by McGregor was absolutely shocking. Now, at least a minute and a half had went by the time the ball had went out from that initial challenge where we got that play on. And he never even got spoken to, I don't think, did he?
No, nothing at all. No, it was a shocker, Derek. It really was.
It was certainly a yellow card, if not a red card.
Yep. Definitely.
It's just, once again, referees. And I did call him beaten on the post-match. I believe it was Bobby Madden, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Bobby Madden. Yes.
All part of the same lodge, apparently, anyway.
Aye, I know. And just as equally as poor a referee as Mr. Beaton as well. Yeah. So.
24th minute, some lovely determined play by winning tackles back and finding men. It comes to Defoe, who tried to pass it wide right, but nobody there and out for a throw-in. 27th minute, free kick by Celtic from 25 yards on the left. It went well wide of the post. 29th minute, lovely play in the Celtic final third with Davis driving the ball forward. Through ball to Defoe in the box, who drops his shoulder, cuts it in and hits a shot, but right at the keeper. It was offside in any case. And then, absolutely out of nothing on the 31st minute, Celtic go 1-0 up. Goldson on the right-hand side gives the ball away high in our half. Ball played forward, ending up at French Eddie, as they were, who took the ball into the box and slots it past McGregor. Just why is our centre-back on the right-hand side, and high up in midfield, trying to pass the ball out from there?
It was completely unnecessary, Derek. We weren't under any pressure whatsoever. And extremely frustrating that we gave the ball away like that and it's ended up in them scoring, because I'll be honest with you, Derek, that was the only way that Celtic were going to be scoring at that point. Although we weren't playing particularly well, we certainly weren't gifting them anything, and I think they knew that. They were hoping it would be going in 0-0 at half time, just like the St Mirren game before that, and we gift them the ball and they end up going up and scoring with it. And at that point, Derek, I genuinely, I'm not just saying that, knew that we weren't getting anything out of this match. I just knew, I had the feeling that that's what was going to be happening. It was unnecessary, it was poor play, and we let ourselves down, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it was absolutely out of nothing. Once again, they can make a mistake and we never capitalise on it. Every time we make a mistake, we always either concede or come close to conceding. Yeah. And that's the one thing that of our play we need to stop. It's all well and good making a mistake. You know, it's going to happen. You know, there's going to be players making mistakes, but it's how we recover from that mistake to stop them scoring. And we never do. Yeah. We never, ever learn. Next piece of play, 35th minute, it was a 50-50 with Jack and ball and golly. Jack clearly got the ball, but his studs were up. He was probably lucky not to get at least a yellow there. This possibly could have been a red as well. However, the precedent was set with McGregor's shocking challenge earlier. So, you know, quite rightly, yeah, Jack never got any even spoken to. So into half time, Dave, disappointing.
Derek, like I said, Derek, I knew then, and I would have taken a draw right then. I would have said, right, if we can score, I will take that, because I didn't think we played particularly well. The team certainly wasn't set out to win the game, Derek, not at that stage, and the mindset was there. We had too many passengers, in my opinion. Now, again, I'm not on for slagging off individual players, but we've got certain players there now that just aren't on for them. You've mentioned them already, Scott Arfield. We love Scott Arfield, Derek, but he is not on form at the moment. He's not the player that he was last season. And Glenn Kamara, I don't know what's happened to Glenn Kamara at all, Derek. We were thinking that this was going to be bargain of the century with the amount of money that we paid for him. He wasn't in the game either. And unfortunately as well, I have to mention him. Joe Aribo done very, very little in the match as well. For me, wasn't doing what we were hoping that he would be, which is get the ball down, make space for himself, try and get in, you know, attack, go for players. There was no fluency at all with our midfield. Steve Davis I thought was outstanding. Derek, our best player, in my opinion, by quite some distance. And John Flanagan, I thought, was having a great game. But everybody else was just really having a poor game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that there. You know, especially Arfield and Kamara, two disappointing players in the centre and weren't getting really anything from them.
No, nothing at all, no.
So, obviously, changes had to happen, and at half-time, Kamara came off and Ojo came on. That kind of gave us a wee bit more width, and I would have said straight away, it looked as if, you know, we were trying to go down the wide, but I think then Celtic had cottoned on to the fact that how we play from the wide and nullified everything. 49th minute from the right-hand side in the Celtic half, we switched it left to Ojo, played about in their box, cut it to Aribo, who tried to feed the ball to Defoe in the box, who got a slid in and got a shot away, but it deflected out for the corner. 56th minute, it was a lovely long ball from Davis to Ojo in the box on the left. Ball bounced, seemed to hold up, but Ojo got a snapshot off, forcing the keeper make a save, but it was out for the corner. 59th minute, Defoe came off, Morelos came on. 59th minute, just after that, Morelos straight away,
his first touch
on the right hand side, plays it to the outside of the defender, he cuts inside, he collects the ball again, runs forward and hits a shot just inside of the box, but well wide. If he had squared it, I think Arfield was waiting in there with largely an empty net, wasn't he?
I know. At the same time though, Derek, I was more encouraged by the fact that Morelos came straight on and was looking to try and score. He had one thing on his mind, and he beat his man, no problem, Derek. He had no issues whatsoever. Held the ball up, turned, and just went for it. And again, I think to myself, if he'd have been on for the start, he could have been driving at players for, you know, all game and putting them under pressure. And it was just a bit too late for me, and just annoying. I was getting rather frustrated at that point, shall we say.
69th minute, Aribo came off, Jones came on. 71st minute, shot by Celtic well over the bar. 76th minute, short corner from Celtic, not dealt with, ending in a shot inside the box, forcing McGregor make a save from his feet. The ball falls back to Celtic on the outside of the box, who plays it back inside, and then another shot forced McGregor to make another save with his feet and knocked away. 79th minute, Tavernier with a shot outside the box after corner not fully dealt with by Celtic and goes over the bar. 82nd minute, quick break by Celtic from the throw-in, ending in Celtic having a shot right at McGregor and saved by his legs. And then on the 92nd minute, it went 2-0 to Celtic. It was launched long by McGregor from after we got an offside decision. We had committed everyone forward. Celtic cleared it. Quick break up. Hayes gets the ball. Hayes, of all fucking people, gets the ball on the edge of the box, hits a shot, saved by McGregor. Hayes then collected the rebound and puts it into the back of the net. And then to round out the game, an absolute moment of stupidity from Jones on the 96th minute. He can have no complaints whatsoever. It was a lunge at the touchline and never got the ball, and he got all of the man. He clearly went for the man and he got a straight red card. And he's injured himself in the process, putting himself out for at least a month, if not two.
Yep. Really silly stuff. Frustrated, Derek. You see it all the times in games like that. But the game as a whole there, Derek, Honestly, you've got to say that the manager, we can't just put all the blame on the players. The manager has to take flak here. We all love Steven Gerrard. I'm no, you know, having a pop or whatever. I do believe he's the right man for the job. But he got his tactics completely wrong there, Derek. He's completely wrong. He put the wrong team out completely as well. And we paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a really disappointing result overall. I think ultimately, if Goldson hadn't made that mistake, and bear in mind, we've got to defend as well. We can't just put it all on Goldson. But if that mistake hadn't been made, I would have thought the game would have ended up 0-0 because we were nullifying everything Celtic were doing.
Yep.
We had to then go and change our tactics and change and chase the game after that. And they certainly don't score their second goal. That said, I felt we'd done. Apart from the mistake, we'd done enough to get a draw out of it, at least,
no,
I think.
No, we did die.
But they scored, that's the name of the game. They done the job.
They basically won a watch here, Derek. They got away with, or I'm saying they got away with it. Celtic weren't lucky, Derek. They weren't lucky because we didn't absolutely pummel them in this match, which we should have. The thing that annoyed me the most is that they did have a makeshift defence in there, Derek, and we didn't put that defence under any pressure. They were playing guys completely out of position. They were playing new players. New players coming into an Old Firm game at Ibrox should be terrified. They really should be, and we didn't put them under any pressure. That was a match, in my opinion, and I'm not a manager, Derek, but if I can see this, then surely everybody else can see it. That was a game for us to play like we did last season, playing two wingers and a striker. That's what that was. Have your three holding midfielders and get two wingers and a striker up there and get the ball to the wings. It's the quietest game I've seen Tav have, Derek, and I don't know how long. Tav just couldn't get the ball, could he? He could not get down the right wing. He couldn't put crosses in. He couldn't get attacking at all. He really, really couldn't. And that was another thing that they'd done. They set their tactics out to stop Tav playing, and we just couldn't get into it. They bogged us down in midfield completely, and I would say that they won that. They'd done what they were supposed to do in midfield. They stopped us playing, and they still managed to get a few, you know, chances. Which McGregor pulled off a couple of great saves, and he was unlucky with the second one, Derek, because the original shot from Hayes, he pulled off a great save. It was just unfortunately it fell back to him as well, but too little, too late at that stage, Derek. And it was just the wrong tactics, the wrong players. Too many players having an off game and just really, really disappointed, and, you know, as all the fans are as well.
Yep. So it leaves us in the table. We've played 4, won 3, drawn 0, lost 1, scored 9, conceded 4. I mean, bear in mind, we've only conceded 4 goals. I know there's only 4 games played, mind you, but 2 of them were against Celtic, which is the disappointing thing. Goal difference plus 5 and 9 points we've got. We're sitting second just now, 3 behind Celtic, 1 ahead of Livy. The table doesn't really mean much now anyway, so. Anyway, games to come. We've got over the international break just now, so the next game is Saturday the 14th of September at home to Livingston in the Premiership. That's our 1500 kickoff. The first European group stage game, Thursday the 19th of September at home to Feyenoord. It's a 8 o'clock kickoff, 8 p.m. So all our home games are 8 p.m, all our away games are 6 p.m.
Okay.
Then it's Sunday the 22nd of September away to St Johnstone in the Premiership. That's a 12:15 kickoff. Wednesday the 25th of September away to Livingston in the League Cup quarter final. That's a 19:45 kickoff, and I believe that game is televised as well. And Saturday the 28th of September at home to Aberdeen in the Premiership. That's a 1500 kickoff as well. So.
Yes, three games there, Derek. You know, on paper, we should be winning, and we should be winning quite comfortably. I don't want to put any type of jinx on us, but three games for us to bounce back, do you not think? Especially in the league. The Europa games are completely different, Derek, but certainly in
the league. I was counting that as one of the three, though.
in the league and in the cup, domestically, they are games that we should be bouncing back for that result. Do you not think so?
Absolutely, yeah. We've got to at the end of the day. And, you know, it's this old thing about every game we must win, being a Rangers player or Rangers fan. We need to win every single game, and it doesn't stop, and that's the thing. Every player's got to be 100% every single game, and as we've said, in the league we're going to have 38 cup finals. We've got to expect that. Europa League, as you said, they're a completely separate thing. As long as we don't disgrace ourselves, if we can give her a good account of ourselves and maybe sneak something, we're more than happy about it. Yeah,
I know.
So we've always got to look forward and expect, we hope we're going to win. But we've got to be realistic in that respect. And the League Cup, we've got to get to a final this year.
Definitely. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt, I want us cup finals for both this season. I want us winning a cup this season. And I want us putting in a very, very strong title challenge as well, Derek. That's what I'm looking for. I want at least one cup this season. Don't get me wrong, I want it all, Derek. I want Europa League. I want everything. But, you know, we have now assembled a squad that should be doing that anyway. We should be putting in, a title challenge right to the final day, and we should be winning cups with the squad that we've got now. So here's just hoping that they can deliver on that.
And I think a lot of fans have got to remember, and it's obviously going to be painful, and it's going to hurt for a bit after an Old Firm defeat especially, but don't fly off the handle. I've seen some tweets there saying, you know, get Gerrard out, get the board out, these players, this player's shit, this player's that.
It always happens.
I mean, they were blaming the board for that result. There was nothing to do with the board. That was just purely, as you said, lack of wrong tactics and wrong team selection, wrong players not playing that thing. I think there's a tendency to, for a lot of fans, especially on social media, to fly off the handle at these kind of things. If you're one of the fans, I would say just say, take a step back, and I know I'm maybe quick to say that after my tweets, but
pot fucking kettle, that's all I can say.
But I think, you know, that's an exceptional circumstance, that when we've been told time and time again not to sing songs. But when it comes to defeats,
can't
like
you leave it, Derek, can you? You've no. got to keep bringing it up.
You've got to remember it's going to be a long season. You know, see, if we're playing like that every single game, then I would maybe have a, you'd obviously have a point, but you know, it's a one-off game. It's not going to be the defining moment of the season. We've seen it last year where, you know, at the end of the or just before the winter break, we beat Celtic at Ibrox. We're levelling points, albeit the other game in hand. And then we went on to have a shit 2 months. And that's what yes. lost us the league, uh-huh. the 2 months. So it's going to ebb and flow, unfortunately. Yep. It's one of these seasons. It's going to be tight. It's going to be tough. We're just going to need to keep the heat and be aware of that. So moving on now. We'll go into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
So, Dave, what's your classic match this week?
Derek, I've got a belter, and I've got, ever since I actually started doing some work on this, and it's only took 7 seasons for me to actually sit down on the laptop and actually update a list of classic matches that I've done.
So it's only taken you 7 years to do work then, do you mean?
Exactly. You can ask my employers, Derek. I've been working since I was 18. They've still not got any work out of me, so you're bloody lucky. No, it's I actually sat and I had to type up all of the classic matches that we have covered, and the amount of games that I am now remembering that we've not covered is quite incredible. Games that I genuinely thought that we had covered, and this is an absolute belter. And as soon as I seen it, I thought surely we've covered this game, but we haven't. And it actually was a Champions League match, Derek, back in 1999 when Dick Advocaat was the manager of Rangers, when we had an absolutely phenomenal team. The game took place at Ibrox. We were playing against PSV Eindhoven, and it took place on the 20th of October 1999. Absolute classic, as the kit and everything I absolutely loved. It was the blue Nike NTL kit, absolutely beautiful. Rangers rocking. I was privileged enough to be in the crowd that night, so I can remember it well. So the Rangers team on this occasion was Stefan Kloss in goals, Sergio Perini, Craig Moore, my man Tony Vidmar, Lorenzo Amoruso into midfield, Barry Ferguson, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, Derek McInnes, Neil McCann and Michael Moles and Rod Wallace up front. Now, great team, Derek, but when you look at the subs bench as well, Lionel Scherboni in the subs bench, Andre Kanchelskis, George Alberts, Gabriel Amato, Jonathan Johansson. We also had Darius Adamczyk in there. Absolutely fantastic bench. Some of the players that were playing for PSV Eindhoven that night: Mark Van Bommel, Heinze, Kolkov, Yuri Nikiforov, who were all absolute world-class players at that point. And of course, PSV probably had the hottest striker in Europe at that moment, a man by the name of Ruud van Nistelrooy. Remember him, Derek?
Yes, the big horse.
Ruud van Nistelrooy, who we were strongly linked with, but unfortunately chose Manchester United instead. Fucking that wee shitty club, Man United. What the fuck was he thinking about? But anyway, into the game, Derek. It was a fantastic night for us. It really was. Second minute, Rod Wallace with a 1-2 with Michael Moles in the edge of the box. He had a shot just wide. So straight away, we knew we were coming out to win this game, Derek. The 8th minute, Derek McInnes wins the ball in the middle of the park. Out to Neil McCann. Cross in, headed just over the bar by Michael Moles, really putting him under pressure. Then the 10th minute, PSV were across from the right. Sergio Perini actually fluffed a clearance with his chest. He lost the ball straight to Stinger, who was one of the forward players. He, thankfully for us, sliced his shot wide in the middle of the box. 11th minute, Van Bronckhorst runs to the edge of the box and hits a fantastic shot, unfortunately just wide by us. Then an incredible chance for Rangers on the 17th minute. Barry Ferguson with the ball in midfield sees Sergio Perini making a run down the right hand wing. A great, fantastic pass, forward pass made by Ferguson to Perini. He puts a first time low cross in to Neil McCann. He shoots and it's saved off the legs of the goalkeeper out for the corner. A great chance for Rangers, a fantastic move. Unfortunately, it didn't go in, but from that resulting corner, Rangers did take the lead.
Very congested box again, that's it! Amoruso
No cover for the big captain. And I think Rangers deserved that for the move they had originally to get the corner.
What a brilliant corner. That is a quality corner. A delivery like that is so difficult to defend. And you've got Vic Amoruso coming in front of the defender. No chance for the goalkeeper. A superb goal by the Rangers captain. And that is exactly the start they needed after only 19 minutes.
Giovanni van Bronckhorst with the corner. He whips the corner in, and a bullet header by Lorenzo Amoruso, and fires that one into the net to send Ibrox going absolutely wild, 1-0 to Rangers. Shortly after that, Barry Ferguson with a ball back to Perini. The ball into the feet of Michael Moles in the box. He turns superbly, cuts the ball back to Rod Wallace, but his shot is blocked and out for the corner. Really great play again. Then after that, Van Bronckhorst wins the ball on the byline, cuts the ball back from Michael Moles. He shoots, his shot's blocked, out to Sergio Perini, who actually does a sliding tackle in the opponent's box and gets an incredible shot away. I don't know how the hell he done it. He slid right in.
Perini taking a shot.
Ball comes bulleting off, and it's an incredible save by the goalkeeper to keep PSV in. It's still 1-0 at this point. Really unlucky. Rod Wallace then was played through 1-1 with the goalkeeper and hits a shot wide, reminiscent, Derek, of Jermaine Defoe, as we spoke about against St Mirren there. You would have put your mortgage on him scoring 1-1 with the keeper. Really unlucky. Really should have scored there. 38 minutes on the clock.
Here's Moles, a beautiful ball to the side. Now McCann, little bit of space there, puts it away to the far side, and it's in! Moles was in there, and Rangers thoroughly deservedly are 2 goals up.
Well, it's a good position by McCann.
Oh, it's Moles.
It's Moles at the back post. Defender couldn't do anything about it. It's a great ball out by Moles. He keeps his run going into the box. Time for McCann to look up. Good ball to the back post.
That's his first European goal. And I think you'll remember that one for a long while. Moles coming in just behind the defender, who went for it as well. Rangers, 2 up.
Michael Moles in midfield to McCann on the left wing. Great cross into the back post. Michael Moles heads it into the net. That makes it 2-0 to Rangers. Fantastic goal, and all of the pressure paying off for us. It really did. But unfortunately, though, we let one slip by, because in the 44th minute, just before half time,
we should have put that back. Moore going in, no. Good tackle by Moore.
Give a penalty.
I think he's given a penalty kick. Now the Dutch players, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's given.
Yes, he's given a penalty kick for that tackle by Moore.
And he hasn't got the ball. Definitely hadn't got the ball.
Craig Moore with a challenge in the box. I thought it was a clear challenge, Derek. I really did. Pierluigi Collina, remember him? He was the referee at the time. He points straight away to the penalty area. The whole of Ibrox is incensed. Looking back on the replays, I just thought it was a strong challenge. I really did. But, you know, you certain referees would have given a penalty. He certainly did. And unfortunately,
Van Nistelrooy. Yes, he puts it away. It's now 2-1. And they're back in with a chance.
Van Nistelrooy stepped up and fired it in to give PSV a lifeline going into half time. But coming out of half time, thankfully, the momentum kept going with us, because straight away, a long ball played up to Neil McCann, running through. The goalkeeper actually runs out and puts a challenge in on McCann right on the edge of the box. The two of them are up in the air. A clear penalty to me, because McCann was completely flattened by the goalkeeper. Nothing happened. The ball ended up going out of the box. It was a cross into Michael Moles, who then feeds the ball to Rod Wallace, who fires a shot and it's blocked. So really, really putting the pressure on there. And then, thankfully, we put the game to bed on the 55th minute.
Van Bronckhorst, remember, Van Bronckhorst can swing it in with his left foot. There is Van Bronckhorst. There's the shot, and Wallace, can he put it away? No! The third goal by McCann! A mistake by the goalkeeper, and all Rangers deserve that 3-1 lead.
A free kick to Rangers, which was laid off by Lorenzo Amoruso to Van Bronckhorst. He has a thundering shot from outside the box, straight at the goalkeeper, but the amount of power it was on there, it spilled by the goalkeeper, straight to Rod Wallace. Rod Wallace gets his shot away, the ball sort of bundles underneath the goalkeeper, and it's bobbling about on the line, and Neil McCann is there just to run in and fire it into the net to make it 3-1 to Rangers. Absolutely fantastic. Place is bedlam, but just constant pressure for Rangers. Great stuff. And not long after that, Barry Ferguson in the centre of the pitch with an incredible curled ball out to Tony Vidmar, who was making a run on the left wing. What a pass it was. Tony Vidmar sprints forward into the box. He again is one-on-one with the goalkeeper. He's at an angle though. He hits a shot. The net bulges. Ibrox goes mad, but unfortunately it was the side netting that he hit. But we were able to put the icing on the cake in the 79th minute when we scored our fourth goal.
Rangers have gone ominously flat. Northside Moles. Away goes Moles. And he's done it. That's it. No danger now. Rangers emphatically at the very least into the UEFA Cup.
Ball into the Rangers half. Sergio Perini just hits a long, hopeful ball. Michael Moles, though, watches the ball the whole way. He stays onside, controls the ball down in the box. He's actually got his back to goal with a defender and the goalkeeper, but one of his turns the ball, takes a touch and fires it into the net to make it 4-1 to Rangers. Absolutely sensational stuff. This was in Michael Moles. It was actually the goal he scored, the first goal, was his first European goal ever, Derek, which was phenomenal. This was a guy who I absolutely adored when he played for us. The game then sort of pittered out after that. We had a long range shot from Barry Ferguson not long after that. That was the last effort of the game. An absolutely tremendous result in Europe that night for us, Derek. It really felt that we had arrived under Dick Advocaat. The squad that he had, the players that he had, the talent that he had in that team was tremendous. Really, guys, if you get the chance to go back and have a look, especially our younger supporters that didn't get a chance to witness this first time round, it was a tremendous night at Ibrox, a tremendous performance, and really give it a look, Derek. Surely you can remember that one. You've got to have seen all the goals before.
Well, I remember that.
It was tremendous. It really was. So please, if you get the chance, go back and watch that game.
I can't believe you're disagreeing with Mr. Colina, though.
Oh, definitely for that penalty, without a shadow of a doubt, Derek.
I mean, that was the type of result where we were playing and we were dominating teams. I mean, we had chance after chance in that game.
Yes.
And we were playing some outstanding football. And I know how good it was to get to the final Europa League under Walter Smith, but we played very negative and football within ourselves and defensive football, where this was attacking, expansive football. Yeah. And it was an absolute joy to watch.
It really was.
And arguably, we've been playing a lot of that style of football under Gerrard now. So yeah, Here's hoping, you know, what we can emulate.
And that was a Rangers team, Derek, without players such as Arthur Newman, who was our mainstay, left fullback. George Alberts wasn't playing in that game either for the start, so it showed you the squad that we had. Andre Kanchelskis, Gabriel Amato on the bench also. It was a great team, Derek, and great to watch as well. Some fantastic memories there.
Yeah, so
I've got a tear in my eye.
So Dave, as he's alluded to, has got plenty more lined up, so we'll get into another classic match for the next time. So we'll go into the news now. So obviously we've got to lead with the big one here, and that is obviously Ryan Kent has re-signed for us.
Yes, now Derek, this is one that I want to have a discussion with you about, because I know that you had your reservations about this one, the amount of money. You can tell me if I'm talking shite or not.
You're talking shite.
I just got from the way that you spoke before he was signed that I think you think that we are building this player up to be something that he is not. And I think you are thinking that we could possibly have spent that money on better options. All the fans, I do think, are hyping the guy up, but We'll go into the pros and cons here, Derek. I'm quite accurate in the fact that I don't think you're that fussed about the signing of Ryan Kent. I've got him silenced.
You're not 100% wrong, put it that way. I think, you know, you're right in terms of the amount of money spent, and we'll get into the fact that, oh, we could recoup that later. But the amount of money spent, we are desperate for a proper left back, not a makeshift one, not one that's blown hot and cold. We need a left back. We also need another striker to partner Defoe and, or be backup at least to Defoe and Morelos. We've obviously just let Hasty go out on loan, which I'll get into in a minute. But we're lacking in that option, and he's seen how much of a problem that became last year in the cup semi against Aberdeen, where we're playing, what was his name?
Omar Sadiq. How the fuck did you forget him?
When we played Sadiq, whereas I don't think he had a massively bad game. I think he was largely, you know, not match fit, which, because he never got a bloody game, and we threw him into that game. So we need a backup player there. For, it's apparently 7.5 million from what's been reported, 6.5 up front, and then another million over the course for add-ons and things like that. And apparently they've put on a 20% sell-on clause as well, which is incredible for the outlay. I know that they had initially valued at 12 million, and then it was 8, and then obviously reduced to now this. His valuation was completely shot, to be honest, for my point of view. If you never got an English club coming in for him, when their window was open, and paying that money when 12 million's chump change for them, then it's clearly he wasn't worth it. You've got to remember he's had largely bad or indifferent loan spells apart from last season when he played brilliant from us. Player of the Year for us as well, I think. He was nominated for the actual Sports Writers Player of the Year or something like that as well. Undoubtedly, he's a great talent. However, it's potential talent as well, because it blew hot and cold a lot of the time as well last year. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, that Old Firm game, he would have blew Celtic's, you know, back line apart. Well, he might have, but then again, the way the whole team were playing, maybe not. That's the difference. And would he have been utilised the way, given the fact that the way Gerrard set up, would he have been actually utilised in that game? Probably not.
I think, well, first of all, I'm delighted that we've got him, Derek. I really am, right?
Oh, so don't get me wrong, Dave. I'm not saying that I'm not delighted.
I know that. I think what you were getting to was the fact that a lot of the supporters were seeing him as being the saviour of Rangers, right? Which he's not, right? But the one thing that I'll say, or no, Derek, a man of little words, not. I think it's a great signing. It's a lot of money, right? I do get that. I'm quite surprised that we have paid that amount of money for him. But the one thing I will say is, you were saying there that he had a sort of indifferent season. I think he did in the first part of the season. I think the second part of the season, Derek, he was your main man. Him and Morelos were your main man. Going on to, we need another striker for Morelos. I see Ryan Kent as being a striker who plays on the wing. Ryan Kent isn't the type of winger like Jordan Jones, who will get down the wing and will put, you know, crosses into the box. I see Ryan Kent as being the type of guy who will get down the wing, cut inside and try and score, which I think against Celtic I think he would have had a success. If he'd have been in that game against Celtic, I have got no doubts in my mind that we would have been talking about a couple of chances that he'd created for himself, whereas nobody else done that apart from Alfredo Morelos in there. The type of guy who runs at players is what the type of player that we need for games, especially going back to the St Mirren game as well. A player who can get the ball and go for it, go and just go for goal, have a shot, you know, which brings off chances for another. I think it's a great addition to the team. I'm delighted that we've got him. He was our young player of the season last year, second part of the season. He was excellent. The supporters all love him. He had momentum there. He was desperate to get back, Derek, as we've seen as well. So I'm delighted that we've got him, and I can see him getting utilised. You know, well, we've got to. We've paid that amount of money for him, Derek. With Jones now being out, I think that Ryan Kent is going to be playing the vast majority of the matches from now on, as I think Alfredo Morelos will now as well. I think the manager I've seen, and that's no having a go at Jermaine Defoe. Defoe, he's a great guy to have in there as a backup. But I think now with you know, with Kent being there, with Morelos there, going to be up top for Rangers, with Kent being just slightly further out, but being there as support for Morelos, that's what I think. So no, I'm delighted. It's got the fans, it's got us having a wee bit more, you know, being upbeat after the game against Celtic as well, and all the supporters will be desperate to be back to see Kent playing for us again. So no, I'm delighted that he's re-signed for us, Derek.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I'm not, you know, I'm not delighted.
You're fucking raging. You're raging.
No, it's just the outlay for him. Now, if the money's there, then that's fair enough, and I know that a lot of the proceeds from what we're going to make from the Europa League will effectively pay for them. And apparently the sell-on clause as well is anything after the £7 million. For, I don't know how that works out, but if we get £10 million from him, it's 20% of the £3 million profit we've made on him. So it's not as bad, I don't think. But it's a massive outlay. It's risky, absolutely. However, if he does fill his potential, then he has got the ability to.
Is it risky for a guy who's already proved he can play in Scottish football, young player of the season, fitted in, you know, again, taking the first part of the season to settle in, but then the second part of the season, you know, played really, really well for us? I think it's a big risk there.
But it depends on the. I think it depends as well, because you look at. I know it's a completely different era and a completely different style of player, but you look at Brian Laudrup. Stayed for four years. He was immense the first 3 years. Decided to stay for the fourth year, and he was largely garbage that year. I know he had a lot of injuries, but you thought, right, proven entity in Scottish football. But
I think
happened.
If Brian Laudrup had made his mind up the season before, which he said himself, the biggest regret he had was not signing a wee extension at the club and seeing out his career. I think if Brian Laudrup had committed himself to Rangers for another two seasons, we would have had the Brian Laudrup that we always had. He knew he was leaving, he knew he was moving on, he didn't want to get injured, and of course that's going to be in the back of your head. So I don't think it's as much a risk to bring him back in, Derek. Proven player for us last season. The same when we signed Steve Davis on a permanent deal the first time round as well. Proven player for us because he'd been there on loan. We were all delighted with the signing of Steve Davis, and he went on to be an even better player for us than he was when he was on loan. I am going to annoy myself by saying this, right? And I know that we shouldn't be concentrating on them and our matches against them. I don't care what anybody says, Derek. He strikes fear into that Celtic team. And he strikes fear into their supporters as well.
It's a pity the player, he really made him shit himself and hobble off with an injury, he isn't he longer there though.
So, but he does, Derek, he does. They, if he'd have been on the team sheet for that game on Saturday, the first thing that would have went through the Celtic players' heads that had been playing in the last two matches were, fuck's sake, he ran us ragged the last two games. Even when we beat them at Park, he was absolutely fucking brilliant, and our full backs are going to get absolutely tortured. That would be the first thing that would be going into their heads, Derek, for games like that. And that is a reason, again, just to even have him in the team brings that mindset in there as well for both sides, for us and for them. It gives our players a lift because they'll be saying, fucking Ryan Kent, the last twice we've played Celtics, absolutely battered them. He's been tremendous. That gives our players a lift as well, Derek.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, and that's all I can say.
Well, you're saying you're wrong then, Derek?
No, I said I hope I'm wrong. I hope any...
You're saying that you hate Ryan Kent and you are wishing that we'd never ever signed him. Is that what you're saying?
You know somebody's going to take that out and they're going to use that as a soundbite. See, are you ready, podcaster, talking shit and they're, you know, they hate Rangers.
Why we hate them, Ivan?
So, as I said, I hope I'm wrong. I'm praying I'm wrong, but at the same time, I do have my reservations.
Not at all. He's going to be fucking player this season for us, Derek.
The next one here is Zach Rudden has joined Plymouth Argyle on loan until January. Last season he spent at Falkirk. Got the right player this time.
Yep.
Jake Hastie has joined Rotherham on a season-long loan. Joe Dodu has had his contract terminated. Just unfortunately, it never worked out for him. And Graham Dorns has left the club as well. He was set to join Killy, but I don't think that materialised. I think he's just been released, and wish them well.
We certainly do, especially Graham Dorns. Derek, we all know that Graham Dorns, you know, before he got injured, was a fantastic player. He had a proven record down in England. Rangers fanatic, as is all his family. They were all delighted that he signed for Rangers, and that was a player that we were all desperate for it to really work out, Derek, weren't we?
Yeah.
When he signed for us, you know, when Caixinha was there, he was the one player that we thought, oh, well, at least we've got a class act in midfield, so things can't go that wrong. But unfortunately, injuries with him, and it never materialised. So no, we do, we wish him all the best. I actually hope Graham Doran stays in Scotland. I hope he plays, he goes to a Premier League club, because I think a lot of these guys, I know it comes down to money, Derek, but when you go down and start playing in the Championship in England or League One in England, I know you're getting more money, but you kind of go off the radar for there. And Graham Dorans is too good a player just to go off the radar. I think he's still a player that could really, you know, he could be playing for a Hearts, he could be playing for a Kilmarnock, he could be playing for a team, getting exposure on the TV. And, you know, who knows, with the state of the national team, a guy who, if he was fully fit, could still come in and go. So I really do hope that he finds his cellar, you know, a good club, and he can still prove that he's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen what he can do when he came on against Villarreal last year for us, and he was nearly scored and set up one nearly. So, wish him well. Another player here, Jason Holt, has joined St Johnstone on a permanent deal. I think he was one of the ones that's told as well, you know, you need to find another club. And he came out and wished us, you know, he never had a bad thing to say about us.
Is that a permanent deal, Derek, or is he on loan from us? Because he was still classed as our player. I don't know if that is a permanent deal or is on loan there or no. I would have to check that one. Well,
I'm sure it was a permanent deal, aye.
Okay.
And then, obviously, he left the last time we'd done a podcast, but Kyle Lafferty has ended up joining Norwegian side Sarpsborg 08.
Okay.
And he was sent off in his first game. Never change, Kyle, never change.
No, never, but I see that he has been recalled to the Northern Ireland squad, Derek, so we'll have to be a guy, Derek. He could have been the backup striker that we were looking for. He could have been, he had all the makeup there. You know, he'd played with us before, he knows what it's all about. He was the big striker that we were looking for as backup, but you know, we went into it in the last pod, it didn't work out, and he's now gone. So again, just have to wait and see, but he has been recalled for Northern Ireland, so he's obviously not doing that badly.
No, well, he's got some time in his hands now, he's not got any league games to play, has he? So Ryan Jack has been recalled to the Scotland squad as well. So as much as I'm not a fan of the way the Scotland are managed, the way the SFA treat Rangers and all that kind of thing,
or the manager,
I'm delighted for Ryan Jack.
Definitely, you know. Yes. You know, I do cheer on my country, Derek. I've never made any. I don't go to the games anymore. I don't pay any money to watch them, but I do cheer them on. I just hope that he does, you know, if he does play, that he's one of the standout players for us, and there's no any fucking arseholes in the crowd that'll boo him.
I mean, he's been easily the best midfielder in Scotland, I would say, this year.
He's been excellent, he really has been.
Yep. The Hibs fan that tried to punch Lee Wallace in the 2016 Cup final was back in court, and after pleading guilty to shouting sectarian abuse at our fans in May of this year, he avoided jail in the 2016 event, so it's yet to see what happens to him this time. But once again, you know, you run onto the park, you try and punch an opposition player, and you don't even get a jail sentence for that, and once again, he's out committing crimes.
Yep.
You know? State of our justice system, but we'll never go. That's another story for another day. Next thing here, obviously, I mentioned it before, but the sickening comment that one Rangers fan, a 15-year-old Rangers fan, gave to Scott Brown about his sister, has been found out. He's been charged by the police, and he's been banned from Ibrox for life, apparently, as well, which is great from the club. And the club have came out and issued an apology and a personal email and phone call to Scott Brown from Stuart Robertson as well, which, you know, once again shows the absolute classness of Rangers dealing with these things.
Definitely. And I would also like to say, Derek, although I didn't want to watch the video back of the actual incident, but I'm glad that I did, because the reaction that the guy got from our fellow supporters was brilliant, because they basically told him he was out of order, he was a fucking arsehole, he had everybody on his back at the time, as well as the police. So I am glad that that did come out there as well. And to be fair to Scott Brown, he didn't react. You've seen how disappointed that he looked, but he must have also have heard the Rangers fans in the background calling the guy out and calling him for everything for doing that also. So I'm glad in a way that I did watch the video back for seeing that. So well done to the supporters that did have a go at the guy as well, because that's what was needed as well.
Yeah. I mean, I hate Scott Brown. I think every Rangers fan hates Scott Brown. He's a odious, odious man. He just winds people up, and part of that is his job, I get that, but nobody deserves that.
No,
you know,
definitely not, Derek. And the one thing I'll say, a player that an ex-player that I really do like, and I really do value his opinion often on the park, is Kevin Thompson, who I enjoy listening to when he's doing any interviews and when he's on RTV. He speaks very, very well, and Scott Brown's his best mate, do you know what I mean? So you've got to think of things like that as well. He must have been absolutely gutted as well, Kevin Thompson, and hearing that also. So I'm glad that the fans did call him out. And like you said at the start of the show, Derek, I'm pleased that the guy who was falsely accused, that's all came out to say that's a lot of nonsense, and hopefully he doesn't get any more hassle because of it.
No. Last thing I've got to cover here is Pedro Caixinha has left Cruz Azul by mutual consent. He won them the cup last year, and he was basically a ball here away from winning the league.
Yeah.
But a really bad start to this year, and has left them with an 11th place with only 2 wins out of 8. So,
yeah, but still good to see that he kept the green boot ban on his club there, Derek. You know, that's one thing we've got to remember him for.
Yes. So, naked OAP caught having sex with cow and fined £8. An OAP in Thailand. An OAP in Thailand was caught having sex with a cow and had to be physically restrained by locals. The 68-year-old man was found completely naked and had reported been spotted dragging the 2-year-old cow named Non into the bushes.
Say that again.
The 68-year-old man was found completely naked and had reportedly been spotted dragging the 2-year-old cow named Non into the bushes.
So the cow's getting named and shamed.
But he'll talk about victim shaming, eh?
Poor Non.
The cow's owner had heard stories about the animal being sexually assaulted in the field before. When the elderly when the elderly man was found, he had no clothes on and apparently his legs were covered in semen.
Oh my God.
The owner had called on passers-by to help restrain him. When questioned by the police, the man said they had seen friends doing it and they had enjoyed themselves, so wanted to give it a go.
He'd seen his friends doing it. Went to poor Non.
He told police, the cow was not hurt and I only ever did it for pleasure.
I think Non's a bit of a slutty cow.
I think so. I have friends who had done it before and they told me it felt good, so I wanted to try.
My God.
The police lieutenant said, we brought him in for questioning where he eventually admitted the scandalous behaviour.
And they fined him £8.
£8. The old man then admitted he had done it several times before with different animals.
Oh my God.
Apparently, Thailand doesn't have any laws on bestiality.
Really?
All the police could do was give him a 300 baht fine, which is equivalent of £8, and send him on his way.
God.
And the fine was for public nudity.
Oh. Oh my God. Do you know the thing about that, Derek, is the fact that the cow had a name as well. That just adds to it as well.
What is it? You never name the animals you're going to slaughter, isn't it?
I don't know if he slaughtered it right enough.
So, on that note, we'll need to say goodbye. Quite probably shut down after that
exactly,
one as well.
Yes. So, Derek and his stories of bestiality. You can't beat it.
So, if you want to check out all of our websites and our social media pages, you can go to our website at iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. There you can find our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and Podbean and Spotify accounts as well.
Yes.
Yes. So, Dave, any last words?
No, I think we'll leave everybody with the story of Non, and we'll leave it at that, I think.
Oh, no, Anonion and Nonu.
Exactly. Whatever that means.
I think I said that wrong, didn't I?
I don't, I've got no idea what you're on about, mate.
You know, had that story where Enrico Inoni was playing for Celtic and he was about to come on as a sub and a Celtic fan shouted out, "Oh no, no Anonio, no Anoni on Inoni."
All right, okay. No, I've never heard that one.
Right, I've fucked that up, so I'll just end it there.
That's another outtake for you.
Right, goodbye.
Okay, take care, folks, goodbye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.